You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with Stay on the Wall.
You can't clap back regarding everything everybody says and everybody does, and everybody's not going to understand you, and they don't need to. So, how did Nehemiah stay on the wall? Number one, he knew God's hand was on his life. Nehemiah 2nd chapter verse 18. He knew God's hand. He said, then I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me. You can put your mouth on me, but God's hand is on me. And your mouth on me don't change God's hands on me. Woo, glory to God. Your mouth on me don't cause God to remove his hand from me. God's hand is on me despite your mouth being on me. He knew God's hand was on him. In other words, he knew I'm called to do what I'm doing. I'm anointed to do what I'm doing. And no weapon from hell and nobody saying something or tweeting something or gossiping about it is going to stop it. God's hand is on my life. Come on, anybody know God's hand is on your life? Glory to God. When you know God's hand is on your life, man, that gives you boldness. That gives you confidence. God's hand is on my life. And as a matter of fact, that's why you don't like me. You don't like me because you already see God's hand on my life and you know you can't stop it. So you think if maybe you can just distract me and put me into this minutia stuff, but God's hand is on my life. I told them of the hand of God was good upon me. And I told them of the king's words that he had spoken. And I said, let us rise up and build. So we strengthened our hands for this good work. And because God's hand was on him, he knew he would prosper. If God's hand is on your life, you will prosper. You will be effective. You will reach your goals. If God's hand is on your life, people will come and people will go. But if God's hand is on your life, you're going to be all right. People will support you and people will withdraw their support from you. But if God's hand is on your life, you're going to be all right. Glory to God. Men will come and women will come and women will go and men will go. But if God's hand is on your life, you're going to be all right. That was for somebody who went through a divorce. You got to know God's hand is on your life. Glory to God. And I'm not going to let the fact that you didn't realize. I heard Bishop Jake say something. Man, it's going to bless somebody. He said, if you can go on without me, surely I got to be able to go on without you. Oh, that ain't that good right there? Oh, surely I got to be able to go on. If you can go on without me, surely I got to be able to go on without you. Oh, you going to be all right and I'm supposed to be stuck? Oh, the devil is a liar. God's hand is on my life. I'll be all right. I'll be all right. Look, somebody say, I'm going to be all right. God's hand is on my life. Secondly, watch this. It's going to bless you. He knew he wasn't doing anything illegal. He knew he wasn't doing anything illegal. He said, stand by and Tobias said, you want to rebel against the king? They said, you're doing something illegal. He said, no, this is legal. I got authority to do this. Now watch this. Why are you defending yourself against something that's legal? Guilty people protest a whole lot. If you're not doing anything illegal, go on and do it with God's hand on your life. You don't have to explain to everybody the car you drive, the house you live in. Oh, you come on. As long as you didn't steal it from nobody and knock somebody over, you don't have bodies in the house where you didn't kill the people and took their house. Come on, if you finance it, if your name is a, come on, live your life. He knew what he had done What he was doing was legal. He said, I told them. He knew I had the permission of the king. Nehemiah 2:7 said, moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to me, to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey to me all over till I come into Judah. I need papers to be able to travel from one place to another. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 9. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and I gave them the king's letters. Now the king has sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. Oh, come on now. Now I also know I got divine protection. Not only does heaven endorse me, but I got the king's captain of the army and horsemen with me. You got to know, regardless of what other people say, goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. That I'm surrounded with favor. Because the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him. So you can't get moved by what everybody says. Romans 13:3. Paul says, listen, what you're doing is legal. You're going to be all right. Romans 13:3, New Living Translation. He says, for all the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what's right. And they'll honor you. So, you got heaven's endorsement. You got government endorsement. When I say that, I mean you're not doing anything illegal. What does it matter what everybody else says? 2 Corinthians 8:20 and 21. Paul says, now, he said, I want you all to give the offering that you said you're going to give. And I'm sending two trustworthy brothers to receive the offering. People you know have good reputations. And he says this, 2 Corinthians 8:20, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in the abundance which is administered by us. The Amplified says, we're traveling together to guard against any criticism of the way we're handling this generous gift. We are careful to be honorable before the Lord, but we also want everyone else to see that we are honorable. I need y'all to see that. He said, do what's right before God and do what's right before men. Pay your taxes. Do what you need to do. Handle your business and go on about your business. Regardless of what other people say. The third thing, Nehemiah also knew that he had a limited time to get the job done. Now, here in the earth realm, and God's ultimate promise to man was 120 years, not 70 or 80, as a lot of people think. When in the Psalm where it says the days of our years are 70, a score is 20, 70 was 70. And then he said, if reason by strength, 40, he was, and that was a psalm where Moses was pleading to God about all these people dying in the wilderness. And he said, God, they're dying too young. He said, God, they're only living to 70, and if they're strong, maybe 80 years. He said, God, we're consumed in your wrath. Those were coming out of Egypt because they disobeyed God. But when we go back, even after man sinned, God said, my spirit won't always strive with man. His days will be 120. Oh, y'all didn't know that, huh? Anybody say, I'm going to live to 120? And say, I'm going to live good. I'm going to be strong. Glory to God. I'm going to know my name. I'm going to be able to take care of myself. Because y'all know you can't spend that on these kids. I was out there yesterday getting leaves out of my pool. I said, Lord, all God, all these grown kids, they ought to come over here at least 1 week. Dad, you need to get leaves out there. They ain't thinking about getting no leaves out of my pool. I was out there. And look, it's all right. Because while I was out there getting leaves out of my pool, the Lord gave me this message. Glory to God. And And I started thinking. I said, Lord, I said, okay, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be able to continue getting these leaves out of my pool. Because my kids, they in the wind. They living their best life. But I'm getting the leaves out of my pool. Everybody say, I'm going to live long and be strong. So Nehemiah knew they had a limited time to get it done. Look at Nehemiah 2 and 6. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall the journey be? And when will thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, look at this, and I set him a time. Nehemiah 2 and 6. So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Everybody say, I don't have all the time, but I do have some time. He said, I gave the king a specific date of when this is going to be done. Even if you live to be 120 years, that's still a snippet of time in eternity. You don't have time to be wasting time. And people will get you off the wall and you're wasting time that you ought to be building your family and building your finances and building yourself. And people distracting you instead of building, you're letting people tear you down because you're getting caught up in everything and responding to everything that everybody says who don't matter. I gave him a time. When you come down off the wall, you're wasting time. Paul tells the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 5, 6, 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeem the time. That verse from New Living Translation says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. I have to make the best use of my time. If you waste my money, I can get more money. Come on now. If you ruin and crash my car, I got insurance. I can get another car. Or got enough money in the bank, I can buy another car. If my house burned down, I can get another house. If you take my jewelry and take my stuff, I can get some more stuff. But whatever you do, don't waste my time. Time is the only non-reproducing commodity. You don't get any more time. When it's up, it's up. Don't allow people to waste your time. And don't waste your time with small-minded people who don't matter. So the devil wants you to come off the wall and clap back at all your haters. Listen to this, y'all. Jesus said, now, I'm just going to tell you, if you follow me, you're going to get some haters. If you all that live godly shall suffer persecution. He said in his life we're going to get the hundredfold, and then he added with persecution, because the devil don't like it when you're blessed like that. Now, can I tell you, I'm saying this as an older, more mature man now. Because when you're young, which is again a sign of maturity, you think you got to respond to everybody. You think you got to justify everybody. You live long enough, you realize, listen, ain't none of these folk paying my bills. I ain't studying you. You're not paying my bills or helping with my bills, directly or indirectly. What you think really doesn't matter. Somebody going to hate and somebody going to celebrate. Amen. Somebody going to hate and somebody going to participate. Somebody going to hate, but somebody going to congratulate. So I'd rather deal with the participators, the congratulators, and the celebrators, and let the haters stay by themselves. He said, Jesus said in Luke 21 and 17, he said, you're going to be hated of all men for my sake. Here we go, verse 18, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. Y'all didn't catch that. He said, they're going to hate you, but they can't touch you. No. People told me I got to stop that. That's too old. Millennials don't even, don't, y'all, I got to come up with something new now. Yeah. But not a hair of your head will perish. Then he says, in patience, possess your souls. In patience, keep yourself together. Impatient, act cool, calm, and collected, despite what people are saying, despite what people do. Possess your soul. What does it matter if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Look, somebody say, I got to keep it together. I got to keep it together. Haters aren't worth the time nor the energy required to clap back. It takes energy to clap. That's why some of y'all stand praising and worship, and you won't even clap. Because it takes energy. I don't feel like clapping. And yet you get on Facebook. Haters aren't worth the time nor the energy required to clap back. The best you can do for a hater, outlast them. Somebody say, I will outlast my haters. Come on, I will outlast my enemies. Look what Jesus said, Matthew 10:22. You're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. Here we go. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. All I got to do is outlast them. They'll go down before I go down. They'll perish before I perish. They'll be gone before I'm gone. All I got to do is outlast them. What makes you think they're going to perish before you perish? What makes you think they ain't going to be around? Oh, because God says I set them on a slippery slope. And God said, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. You don't know who you're messing with. When God's hand is on somebody's life, God will give you a back slap. It's a righteous thing with God, and he will fight your battles for you. I'm a living witness, y'all. When I know I've been right, God fights my battles, and he vindicates me. Is anybody a witness that God will vindicate you? But you got to stay on the wall, y'all. He that endures to the end shall be saved. So you got to learn to minimize, listen to this, y'all, minimize your haters and don't give them the brain space, the effort, or the energy, here we go, that they desire. You didn't catch that. You can't give them the energy they desire. There are people, if they weren't involved in your business, they will have no business. If they didn't try to attach themselves, even in a negative way, to your name, nobody would know their name. There are people who are just known as critics. Hollywood will make people famous who are just critics. Y'all remember Joan Rivers? She was famous for just critiquing and talking about everybody's clothes and dress. And there are people who want to be famous by merely hating on you. Don't give them the brain space, the effort, or the energy that they desire. Don't make your haters famous for getting you off the wall. In the game of football, there are people who are wide receivers who score touchdowns. But then there's some people just famous for tackling people. Don't make your tacklers famous. That was a word right there. Y'all, that was better than your response. It's all right. So let's look at Jesus as an example. Jesus minimized his haters. Look at Matthew 15, verse 12. Anybody get anything out of this? Matthew 15, verse 12. Then came his disciples and said, Jesus, knowest thou not that the Pharisees were offended? Lord, they didn't like what you said. After they heard this saying, Jesus said, you got to eat my body and drink my blood, and you, your father the devil, and all this stuff. And he answered and said to them, listen, every plant which my heavenly Father plant, which my heavenly Father hath not planted, shall be rooted up. He said, listen, don't even worry about it. Now you see him, now you don't. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Look at verse 14. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, don't worry about it. Both of them going to fall in the ditch. Jesus said, I ain't studying those folks. I don't care that they got offended. I know God's hand is on me. I know what I'm doing is right before God. There's always going to be somebody get offended. Come on. We were sharing with our staff Tuesday. We took most of the day just reviewing individually and corporately our successes, our disappointments, and our dreams, and our goals, and our prayer requests for reviewing 2018 and talking about our anticipation for 2019. And I said very transparently, I said, one of the things that most freed me in 2018, because many times, y'all, while I'm preaching to y'all, God preaches to me. So a lot of times I'm saying stuff to you, but I start speaking by the Holy Spirit, and the Lord just blesses me through what came out of my mouth that I didn't plan, that I didn't study. One thing that came out of my spirit when I was teaching y'all this year is that people got offended with Jesus. And I'm here walking on eggshells. Oh, trying to keep everybody. I wonder if I said this. I wonder if I said that. Lord, if I wear an ugly sweater, that's somebody going to get offended. Because somebody like Brother Dale, he ain't going to wear no ugly sweater. He always got to look like a millionaire. And he might not like to be under no pastor who wear ugly sweater. Now, we're laughing, but I'm really telling y'all how my mind used to work. If I wear sneakers, oh, Lord, it's going to be somebody that I can't be going to no church where no pastor be wearing no sneakers. Now, I can't wear Reverend Slewfoot. He wore a robe and a collar every Sunday. Now, I just can't be up in no preacher wearing no sneakers and some jeans in the church. And then I'm worried about this one get offended and that one get offended. And then if you hear this Sunday and not hear next Sunday, last time I said it, what was I preaching? When I said that, can I tell y'all that will drive me crazy trying to figure out what's going on in all y'all's minds. And so eyes got free, y'all. I said, if Jesus offended people, Herbert Betty gonna offend somebody. If 5,000 folks left Jesus and he ended up being left with 12, then I'm going to have maybe some folks leave me too. I ain't going to say thousands, but I can't hear. The devil is a liar. Some. But it freed me to realize it's always going to be somebody offended. Just know God's hand is on you. Know what you're doing is right before God. Listen to that verse from New Living Translation, Matthew 15, 14. This is so good. Jesus said, so ignore them. Y'all see that? Pharisee, don't you know? They didn't like that. They offended. Jesus said, so ignore them. They are blind guides leading the blind. And if one blind person guides another, they both going to fall in the ditch. He said, you don't worry about it. They ain't going to be around long. Eventually, and it won't be long now, they're going to fall in the ditch. Now, Paul minimized his haters. Come on, say, Lord, help me to minimize my haters. See, if you give them too much attention, you maximize them. Nehemiah stayed on the wall. They asked him 5 times, come on down, fight. No, I don't have time to fight. I'm here to build, not to fight. I'm here to build a wall. I got a certain amount of time to do this. I told the king I'm going to be back. I don't have time to get involved with you sitting because you're jealous of me. Paul minimizes haters. Look at 1 Corinthians 4 chapter, verse 3. Paul said, now I know everybody don't like me. Look at me, Paul, he says. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of any man's judgment. Yea, I don't even judge myself. For I know nothing by myself. And he said, and just because that don't justify me. He said, but he that judges me is who? Is the Lord. Ultimately, if the Lord's pleased with me and you're not, oh well, That's what Paul's saying. Everybody say, make it a small thing. Make it a small thing.
Has God given you an assignment and it seems that people or distractions are trying to deter you from it? Nehemiah had an assignment to build a wall for Jerusalem, but distractions came. In this powerful message, Bishop Herbert Bailey encourages you to stay on the wall and remain focused on what God has called you to do. Order today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE. Or go online to rdci.info. For immediate access, subscribe to rightdirection.tv. Ask for Stay on the Wall. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.